a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Neville Arena time is 8:51 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and True podcast, harbored by the friendly folks at collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, Center Crow 2 on Twitter. You can find me at Center Crow on Venmo. Joining me, the rumor monger, Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for
shooting way too many threes. How about that?
Yeah. Well, shooting that thing from way downtown. It's not called making it. It's called shooting it. The other side of me, via the magic of the internet, give me the full Fort Payne ASMR you pay extra for. It is the AU chief.
Bienvenidos.
Also joining us via the War Eagle hotline that we just invented tonight is James Jones.
Buenas noches.
And also the doctor is in, Dr. Will McLaughlin.
I would just like to congratulate the city of Knoxville for the brand new building that was built for them on Saturday, courtesy of both Auburn and Tennessee, fully funded by bricks.
That's just a classic basketball dad joke. Go build a building with all these bricks. Or like, rims have feelings too. It's another good one. Guys, Auburn went 1-1 in two games that could have been described as should win. Maybe not must win, but we'd like to win them. We'd like to win them all. I don't think any serious person thought Auburn was going to stroll into Knoxville and walk away with an easy win against the then number two team in America. But you would have liked to have gotten that one, considering it was close and you kept it close by virtue of your defense. We're going to go backwards, by the way. We're going to go Tennessee, bad news, good news. Tennessee first, then Georgia second.
Take our medicine first.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. The Tennessee game, you'd have liked to have it because your defense is good enough to keep you in the game. You just needed somebody to get hot, and nobody could. And what KD Johnson liked to, like, he hinted that maybe I'm going to get hot. And then he realized it was 2023 KD Johnson, and that doesn't exist. I got to live here anymore. And it didn't happen for us.
This team, not just in this game, but seems to have a real bad case of the Denzel Purifoy's, where the ball will go like halfway down the net and then pop right back out and not go in. I mean, Chris Moore specifically had one that could have, I mean, we would have won the game more or less. And it just, I don't understand how it didn't fall all the way through.
Lynn's last thought, the last shot, I thought was going in.
Yeah. I mean, that's the frustrating thing is that a lot of times we're not missing bad. They're just not falling. They're not going in. They're good shots, getting good looks, just not.
Yeah, they're
in.
Theoretically great looks. That's the thing that's killer is they're doing a good job of getting people open. And maybe that's just teams making us shoot over them because they know we can't. But
sure.
I mean, they're not doing the thing where they're just hacking up terrible shots early in the shot clock.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the yips. I mean,
well,
almost nobody, everybody no, on this
nobody
team,
but Flan's doing that.
No. Well, almost everybody on this team, though, has been a better shooter at some point in their college career than they are this year.
Sure.
Jalen Williams is really the only one that's been better this year than he has in the past.
I think of all the three threes Auburn made, I think only one of them was really an open three from Flan. And the two threes that Wendell made, they were tough shots, and they were from deep. They were from deep. And
The very first one, I specifically said I was very angry about it until it went to the bottom of that net. I was like, well, all right. Yeah.
My Tennessee buddy that I was with the game with, when Wendell shot that, he went from there. And when he switched, I literally turned to him and went from there. Yep. So pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be curious to see if his 3-point percentage is better a certain distance away from the line.
Well, I mean, it's possible because your shot's totally different.
Yeah.
When you're that far out, you're doing a whole different thing with your every muscle when you're shooting from that far away. So, I mean, it's possible. And the other issue was we couldn't hit a shot from anywhere in that game, like anywhere.
Except for the first 5 minutes.
The first 5 minutes, we were killing it. But then we couldn't make a layup after that.
Made free throws, which is the only reason why that thing wanted to blow out.
There's just several times I'm sitting at Thompson Bowling Saturday, and I'm like, we're still in this game? Like, how? I think at one point we were like 3 of our last like 36 at one point. It was it was horrid, quite frankly.
I think the last 11 minutes of the game we hit one field goal.
I desperately wanted to just turn the game off because it was so tough to watch, but I couldn't do it because we were still in a game.
I mean, Tennessee had just as long of a scoring drought as we did from the floor. Like, they just nobody could hit a shot. I don't know what was going on with the officiating. Early on, they let pretty much everything go. I think that probably helped Tennessee as much as or more than it did us.
You got away with multiple headshots, which
at first I thought, well, this works out in our favor. We're not, we don't need Janai in foul trouble with Dylan not playing. But the longer it went on, I realized that no, I think it's just really helping them out. Like, they had guys that shouldn't have been in the game anymore. It became very inconsistent pretty quickly, though.
Well, what cracked me up was the tech they called on Tennessee was one of the least egregious things in the game.
Yeah. They had already warned him, and he was
sure.
He was yelling at Auburn's bench the whole time. He was looking over, like, he was talking. The second he got in the game, the first time they went down the floor and he was in front of Auburn's bench, he started talking at Auburn's bench. And I think that's why he got it, because he just kept doing it and they kept telling him to stop. That's why he got the tech.
Yeah.
That's good officiating. I mean, that's trying to keep, control of it, trying to make him settle down or whatever, but it didn't work.
They let everything go at the beginning, and then I think things got pretty heated in there. It was a physical game, and I think that T was all right. Knock it off, we got to do something to knock it off the rest of the game. And I don't really think it got much testier after that for the rest. But yeah, Bob Six was definitely stirring the pot, if you know what I mean.
So I know Auburn starting center has never initiated any kind of altercation, that's for sure.
I wonder, speaking of Auburn centers, Dylan Carwell missed this game for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that changes the outcome of this game at all.
Yeah, I don't think so, really.
We were pretty bad at rebounding at huge stretches of this game.
Yeah, well, they killed us on the boards last year, too. Early on, I asked this in our Slack, I'm like, we're not even trying. We weren't even trying for offensive rebounds.
We had 0 second chance points well into the second half.
It's like we were giving it up on purpose because we didn't think – we just wanted to get back on defense. And if that's what we were doing, I think it worked. Like, we held them to 46 points.
Yeah, I 100% think that was the plan. Is they thought that there was the capability of our team to get offensive rebounds against that team was just little non-existent. So let's just not even worry about it. Let's guards get back. This game is going to be a rock fight. I think both coaches knew that that game was going to be a rock fight going in. So they just said, all right, we know this game's going to be played, first. I originally said first 1-60 wins, but gosh.
First 1-45.
Yeah. Without looking at anything, if I had to guess, I'd think Janai had the most rebounds, and probably Jalen, and then maybe Wendell Green, because he kept coming away.
Wendell gets a sneaky high amount of rebounds for a guy who's not 6'1".
So you're partially correct.
I mean, he's not 6 foot one. He's not 6 foot even.
Okay. Like 5'10".
So you're partially correct. Broom and Jalen actually both had 9. Wendell had 7, and Flanagan had 8 boards.
Okay, that would have been 7
rebounds. Wendell had 7 rebounds.
He can't.
When you miss 24 threes,
right,
you get a little bit more rebounds.
Well, several of those though, Wendell was getting like down in the paint with surrounded by everyone else. He just somehow came away with a rebound. It was I actually kept laughing about it.
Wendell Green is the guy on the basketball team I would least like to fight.
Yeah.
Wendell Green, if you are his height and his weight and have played Division I men's basketball, that the amount of toughness that he has to have to do what he does on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
That guy is as tough as a coffin nail. There's no way you would want to mess with him. And so he doesn't care. He'll go down there and get rebounds. He thinks he's 7 feet tall. He doesn't care.
Yeah. And the rebounding, honestly, that's not what lost this game. We lost the game by 3 points. I think if you get out rebounded, and that's the reason you lost, you usually lose by more than that. And the other team usually scores more than 46.
I am curious what the record is for most rebounds in a game combined, like maybe for Auburn, maybe for anybody. But at one point in the game, we were on pace for 100 combined rebounds. I think it ended up at like 88, 89.
It's got to be one of the top games.
Yeah, because nobody could hit a shot, you know?
Right.
The infamous 49-37 Bama game might be up there.
God, that was awful too. This game was just horrible to watch. It wasn't fun for anyone, I wouldn't think. I guess a little more fun for the Vols since they won, but then they only scored 46 points and almost lost to a team that's now unranked. So maybe not. At home, yeah.
The most fun that the Tennessee crowd had on Saturday is when the security guy took the court at the under 12 timeout and broke out in dance. No joke. That's the loudest they got in there Saturday. I was very disappointed.
It was not a fun basketball game. I said it wasn't. This to Slack. I go, if I didn't like one of these teams, there is no way I watched that game more than 2 months.
I would have been very happy to have won that to make that because we made the other team suffer through such a horrible game. It wasn't fun to watch. I wasn't mad about it though. I mean, it was in a way, it was a road game. The number two team in the country, we held them to 46 points. If we could have shot just like one shot better than we did, we can win the game. It shows that we just can't shoot away from home. I think a lot of that is Tennessee's just very good defensively. A lot of it too was the physical play. The officials just letting everything go, letting them play, as it were, led to the guys being able to play pretty aggressive. And that's why neither team could really make a layup for long stretches in the game. It is what it is. We all would have loved to have won that game. Makes me feel like we can beat them by 10, 12 points in Auburn, easily. So, I wasn't that bummed about it. It sucks that we fell out of the AP top 25. I mean, not that it matters, but it's just, it was nice to have that streak going.
It's going to be funnier to beat Bama when you're unranked.
It's true. I expect us to jump right back into it this week because of what we got coming up. So anybody have anything else about Tennessee to say?
Yeah, I do want to address something else real quick. And we haven't talked about the last play of the game. And I know it's been a big topic of conversation the last 2 days. And just my two cents on it. The refs didn't shoot 3 of 27 from 3. And I think the reason they didn't call a foul at the end of the game, people were like, oh, the consistency of the refs and this and that is, you know, early in the second half, Wendell took a three and got fouled. And you could argue that he may have flopped a little bit, and but they gave him the call. He made two or three. Then, like, three or four possessions later, he took another three and flopped, and they called it flop technical. So, guys, honestly, they were looking for Wendell to flop, and they basically had made up in their minds that if Green appeared that he was, like, trying to flop to get a call, they were not going to call anything. I know they had called the foul on the Vescovy three, you know, with 2.5 minutes left, and you'd like to see the consistency there. But I just feel like they were looking for that specifically. And it sucks for us that that happened. But, you know, the refs didn't shoot 3 of 27 from 3. And there was plenty of chances to win that game. So for those of you out there that think the refs are the reason we lost that game, I'm sorry. I don't buy it.
The referees didn't want to watch overtime of that basketball game.
I actually just think it's – it's even less than that. I don't even think they were looking for Wendell flop there. I think they just swallowed their whistle at the end of the game. They weren't going to call a foul.
Anybody could have been shooting that.
They just weren't going to call a foul. I think that sucks. I think that they absolutely should have called one. I think Bruce is right to go after them. But, I mean, they just weren't going to call that. Yeah, it's a foul. And we lost. We don't have a national championship because of that exact same foul that they didn't call. And this was actually way worse than Samir's in the final four, because Samir just kind of stood there under the guy. This guy jumped into Wendell, jumped into his space. So, I mean, it is what it is. I was not shocked they didn't call it. Like, it did not faze me that they didn't call it. I was mad at them for not calling it, but it didn't shock me.
Sure, because it's officiating in college basketball is awful.
Yeah, it's awful. Terrible.
It has never been worse, and it makes the product unwatchable.
You think it's bad in college basketball? We talked about it earlier. Women's college basketball is
even worse
somehow.
Yeah, the ending sequence of Auburn Arkansas on Sunday was mind-numbing, and they got it right, but it was so bad.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
It's the only, I think Justin Ferguson, friend of the show, has said, it's one of the only major American sports that allows the officials to be in part of the narrative every single game. Yeah. Like, no other, the NFL doesn't do this. Those guys don't get to do it anymore.
Yeah.
If you miss a call as blatant as the one that was missed in the NFL, you get suspended for a game.
I think the problem there is they have to have so many, they can't tell people they can't do it. They just have to take it.
Today in the NBA, we'd be getting a last 2 minute report from that game, and the head of the officials association would be talking about all of the calls that were missed or made incorrectly in the last 2 minutes of that game, and there'd be a formal apology from the referees union about that missed call. Nothing else would happen, but at least they'd acknowledge it. There's not even an acknowledgement that there was a call missed.
Well, I think it goes back to they cannot afford to reprimand anybody because there's too many games between women's and men's college basketball. There's hundreds of games each week. And so you just can't afford to tell people they can't they're not able to do it. They can't afford to reprimand anybody. And that's also why they can't afford to have professionals, like a whole group of professionals do it. It's just a bunch of part-timers.
So a lot was made of it. There was a specific official week before last, John Higgins, his travel schedule for the week, kind of going to your officiating talk. I just want to read. So Tuesday before last, he did a game at Rutgers. The next day, he did a game at San Diego. The following day, he did a game at Oregon State. Then on Saturday, did a 10 p.m. Eastern game at Stanford. On Sunday at noon Eastern, he was at Purdue. And then he was at Texas the next night. So they have no – like, they have to work six games a week, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's just – it's a problem in basketball.
Unfortunately, the sport doesn't make enough money, I guess. And they can't hire any more referees. Like, they make $1 billion on this tournament every year. Hire some more guys.
Yep.
Hire some more guys. Pay referees more.
They're more worried about trying to make up BS NIL laws that are way past due, you know, at this point, than fixing the game.
I'd almost say we could have a third referee in games.
Oh, I've long
logistically thought it's a weird thing to have three guys out there, but maybe they get the calls right.
Yeah, I've long thought that there should be one more official added, and I think that's the same in football. They should probably add two more to each game, because the game is way faster than it was when they decided there should be, you know, three referees in the game. Like
there's two. Just, they should have one that just runs the sideline.
Yep.
The opposite on the same side as the bench, just back and forth, and then they have the other two that do the normal baseline to half court.
There are three now.
Yeah, there's three. But there should be more than three.
Yeah, there should be more than three.
Just have two on each side of the court.
Yeah. Like even line judges.
Yeah, I don't know. The biggest sports league in the world, the most lucrative sports league in the world, the Premier League, has the worst officials as well. So,
that's where they got the one. That's the other problem with that. The problem with soccer is you got one guy.
Yeah, you got one. You got your sidelines. Yeah. But also, they never admit when they're wrong, like ever. There,
no.
That's similar to. They will, if it's the right team that they get it wrong for. But it's like maybe a handful of teams that they'll say that they got it wrong. So.
And you can't review fouls, which I understand, because the game would last 1,000 years. If you could challenge a non-call.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Get the calls right.
I say that,
but it's not like I think that Wendell Green's going to go knock all three of those down and tie that game.
Sure, that was the he struggled from the line a little bit. I mean, he missed.
He was 3 for 5, wasn't he? Something like that?
Maybe. He had some misses.
A couple.
He's missed several since he broke his streak.
Because he had a three. They fouled him on a three-pointer earlier in the game.
Yeah, and he only hit two.
I thought he kind of flopped on that one, actually.
What's his face? The kid from Tennessee ran through him on that one. I think that's why he got the call. Because he did just run straight through him. Ziegler. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, man.
If we could just get the offense from the Georgia game and the defense from the Tennessee game, this team would be unbeatable.
Sounds like a Gus Malzahn football team. if we could just get 2014's offense, 2019's defense, my gosh.
The Georgia game was the – I don't know the exact opposite of the Tennessee game, but it was pretty much – it was a total opposite game. Like, we just played – it was fun to watch. Led wire to wire, right? Am I remembering correctly?
I think they went 2-0.
That's
okay.
So
come from behind win for the Tigers.
there was a big rally. There was one distinct thing going into this. There was two distinct things going into this Georgia game. First thing was, you know, don't let the Georgia guards beat you the second time in a row. We got destroyed by Terry Roberts and Kerry Oquendo in Athens. Terry Roberts had 7 points in this game. And the second thing was go inside early and often. And as much as you can, and Janai Broome ate, as people say, you gotta let the big dog eat. We let the big dog eat in that one.
Thanks, Pete Gillen.
Let the big dog eat. Speaking of announcers, did you guys see that the NBA has started a Monday night thing on the NBA app where it's just, it's like the Manning cast, but it's just Bill Walton.
Oh man, have they really?
Yes, it's Bill Walton and it's Bill Walton watching games.
That's perfect. I got a Monday night thing.
Yeah, I think it's anybody with the NBA app can watch it. I don't think you have to have a league pass.
Yeah, they had a they were doing the Cavs Wizards game tonight. I watched a little bit of that.
I saw a little bit of it too, and he was just like, he was talking about the All-Star Saturday night, and he started breaking into One More Saturday Night by the Grateful Dead. So it's exactly what you want.
It would be amazing if there was like a red zone for the tournament with Bill Walton.
I just want that. Just have him at his house,
yeah,
in his drum room,
yeah,
watching the tournament games.
Unfortunately,
I can just tune into that.
He's a ESPN employee, and I don't think that's.
Instead, I got to watch Jim Nance's quarter zip.
Tell me about the game. I think if ESPN had the tournament rights, you might see it, but with CBS and Turner having it.
Exactly.
So you only have to see that quarter zip one more time because this is his last year calling the tournament.
Hello, friends.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. I think Ian Eagle's taken over after this year. I think he's going to do the Masters, but yeah, the Final Four is in his hometown, so. This is it for him.
You gotta step up. Iron Eagle's great, but that's not. I would rather just let
the TNG
do it.
He goes by Iron.
Yeah,
it's Iron Eagle. I've always liked him because he was the one.
It's Ian, though. That's how you say that.
No, it rhymes with Iron Eagle. Like the Iron Eagle.
It rhymes with Ryan.
Okay. Ryan.
Yeah, that's true. He was the one that was on the UNC game and the Kentucky game.
Right.
So his call of the win over Kentucky is perfect. It was just a phenomenal call.
I wish we had Mike Breen, to be 100% honest with you, because of Mike Breen calling that Kentucky game and yelling bang on a Bryce Brown three, I think I would have lost my mind. especially you had to do the two bangs. If you get Mike Breen giving you double bang, that's about as good as it gets.
Speaking of double bang, Marv Alberts is. I would love to have him on some college basketball, but he's about 90 years old at this point, I'm sure.
Yeah,
he's a little past it.
Take me back, Ryan. Marv Alberts.
There's a lot going on.
let's not get into. In the extracurriculars of Carl Albert's career.
Great broadcaster, though. Great basketball.
Fantastic.
Love it. Do we want to talk about Janai Broome's 1918 performance?
Man, it's so close to 2020. So close.
Only played 22 minutes and didn't play any of the last nine. But he was at 7-7 10 minutes into the first half.
He is one of three Auburn players in the last 4 years to have a 19-18 game. Other two.
In the last 4 years? 19-18?
There weren't any in the last 4 years.
No, there weren't any.
In 16.
Yeah, the last one was.
I thought they said on the broadcast it was Walter Kessler and Austin Wiley were the last two.
Yeah.
At a certain point, but then he went past that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last 19.
Sim.
19-18 was Sim.
Yeah.
Wild
horse guy himself.
With probably like nine assists.
dude. He almost had a triple double. that game was awesome. I think it's fairly clear that Mr. History Bruce Pearl had no clue that he was that close to 2020. Otherwise he would have demanded that he be put in.
So he admitted the day after he didn't know.
Yeah.
If I'd have known how close he was, I'd have put him back in.
It's because Bruce. Everybody's mad at Bruce about these subs. And I mean, partially, I'm sure Bruce has to approve what's going on before the games, but Bruce doesn't make any sub decisions during the game. Like it's one of the other assistants that does all the subbing. They handle the rotations. Like that's just how it is.
Yeah. He may make a suggestion or say, hey, we need to get more of X
at
halftime, but
right.
You know, the standard rotation that's set. Well before a game.
Yep. Surely we're going to get some of that Wendell Trey backcourt in the tournament, the SEC tournament. Like, this is it, well, like, for them. It, we've only had it for like a minute so far this season, and it was great.
I would be excited about it if either one of them was a shooter.
No, but they both get to the basket. Is that true? Like, that's true. That's the right now we don't have anybody that's consistently trying to get to the basket.
Yeah. I want to know what's going on with Zepp's fouling this year. He's getting called for fouls. He never got called for a foul last year. What's up with that?
Yeah, man, Zepp is.
He averaged like less than a foul a game last year.
Yeah.
Probably playing more minutes.
He's averaged less than a point a game this year, I believe.
Yeah, it's not great. I
playing like 19 minutes a game. That's insanity.
Well, who are you going to play over him?
I just said Trey Donaldson. That's who I'm playing over.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see that pairing a lot next year, though, with the way the roster is going to shake out.
Well, because I don't think a lot of people are going to be here next year.
Katie Johnson's got another year, guys. He's a junior.
That doesn't mean
he's already transferred once.
Yeah, but you're going to have Aiden Holloway coming in, and I don't anticipate him not playing next year. So that really means Trey is moving over into the two to kind of play Zepp's minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I'd be curious how that pairing, if they get into it at all this year or not. But
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how things are going to shake out next year. There are problems, obviously, this year. We've just got to find at least one person that can shoot 30% from three. I mean, that's really the bottom line.
I think everybody in the SEC is going to be looking for that guy in the portal this
year. Yeah, yeah. So I kind of feel like we're not alone here. No. I mean, we've played several teams that also can't shoot. So
the SEC is the worst three-point shooting conference in the country right now.
Famously, Kentucky's been in the hunt for a three-point shooter for like 10 years now. So it's like, what's going on?
I think the funniest thing about the Georgia game was all the we were talking about bad three-point shooting, and Georgia was like on fire from three in the second half, and it didn't matter.
It's weird how
six.
It's weird how that works too, because I do think that that's the way you beat Auburn generally, is that you just have one dude get hot, and then we can't catch up. But I guess the way we counteract that is just get a 20-point lead, and it doesn't matter. And just keep making.
We talked about that earlier in the season, that Auburn's team defense is outstanding, and you know, we saw it against Tennessee. We've seen it several times this year, so it's going to be. You're not going to have an entire offense just have a good day against Auburn, and it's going to come down to, well, if someone gets hot shooting, the way college basketball works is like they're going to score.
They really need to have. I know this sounds. This is just like all you got to do to beat Auburn is score more points than they do, but like you really got to have two guys really producing. Like you got to have, if one dude's on fire, you still got to have another guy. You know, get 15, 16 points some other way. Otherwise,
we saw Radford for A&M and Stevenson for West Virginia. I mean, those two guys played well above their heads compared to how they've been playing.
And I think they still had one other guy on both of those teams score 15, 16 points. And I think that really dooms you. Those two teams, I mean, that's the blueprint on how you beat Auburn. And Radford's just destroys us. I don't understand it. I don't get it. We didn't.
It's bigger guards because you've got Zepp at 6'1" and Wynn at a generous 5'11".
Yeah. It's
a mismatch there.
Arkansas is a good example of how just the one guy isn't gonna beat us. Right. They have to have at least one. They have to have some. One or two other guys really, really killing us to do it, which is good, I guess, because we do play really good team defense, and that's what we did against Georgia. Those three, we made them shoot those threes, and they kept hitting them, but it didn't matter.
Well, we want to talk about the next two games coming up for
us. Let's do it. Let's do it.
So we got Aggie on Tuesday night. You know, we've talked about A&M a little bit already. So no surprises there.
I am more of less inclined to believe we win this game than I am the Alabama game.
Well, I mean, Auburn's home road splits over the last few years support that.
Well, I not even that. Have you seen our record against Tennessee or Texas A&M? Like Bruce has they're the team. Everybody, you know, has talked about Ole Miss and how, you know, Kermit has our number or whatever, but we've beaten them plenty of times.
Yeah, that's over.
I mean, this A&M team, we just, for whatever it is, I guess Buzz just knows what to do. I don't know. Because they've beaten us when they've been bad, like real bad, and we were good.
I want somebody to hug the sideline against them and just run back up the bucket, run back up the court and run him over.
Yeah, well, he's a big old boy, though, man. He weighs about 280, probably.
He's short, though. He's not that big.
I don't want Wendell to run into him. Janine's. Trey's the one.
Trey's still got that football mentality.
The I guess that's how they beat us, though. They've got the six man.
If you're listening to this, Trey, and we know you are, we're calling for you to do a targeting on Buzz Williams.
Yeah, take him out.
We need Smoke Monday to give the team a pregame pep talk.
There's no penalty for targeting in basketball. So
let Smoke get ejected.
We're putting bounty out right now. So NCAA, you heard it here first.
Yeah, Venmo at Son of Crow, and that money will
go. Trey, there's an NIL deal.
Take out Buzz Williams.
Yeah. I'll make a t-shirt that says Trey did it.
Everyone in this country will love you. Everyone. Yeah. Except for A&M fans, and nobody cares about A&M fans. Do they? Yeah. Are they into basketball? What's the deal here, Crow? Get the 411.
They're not really. I don't think most of them.
They're not really into football. They're into they're into the pageantry, the fake military stuff and all that.
But they really care about believe that they're going to be good every year. Basketball, I don't think they can name five guys on the team for the most part. But if they make the tournament, every time they make the tournament, all of a sudden I see all this Aggie basketball shirts and stuff. It really is.
Well, the funny thing is they hardly ever schedule well enough to make the tournament. So,
yeah,
like where they were last year at this point where, I mean, they're – record's not bad. They're playing all right. You know, they.
I think they're really good. I mean, I think
they're not a tournament team right now.
That's weird.
Yeah, they play a bunch of really lousy teams in non-con.
That's unfortunate for them. The best team they played in non-conference was Colorado, and that Colorado team blitzed them.
They played Memphis too. So
okay.
Don't they also play they in Baylor, I feel like both. Texas is a lot like Alabama, I feel like, in that they don't do a lot of local schools. Whereas I think Aggie does. I think Aggie plays like all of the Texas schools that are barely Division I and then smoke them.
So they played this year they played Abilene. I'm just talking about Texas schools. Abilene Christian, SMU. And then Prairie View A&M.
There it
and
is. And then
they played a couple Louisiana, like Northwestern State and Louisiana Monroe. So.
Unbelievable. What are you scared of, Aggie? What are you scared
of? You've got a good basketball team. Just play some good teams.
Can I just put on record that A&M is an excellent three-point shooting team as well?
Yes.
No, we're supposed to say they can't shoot.
I hate you. Ryan.
Damn it, Ryan.
You know what else they are? They're scared. That's what I'm going to say. They're scared of scheduling good teams and walking on the grass on the campus. They're scared of that, too.
Well, it's because they can't bring their whole military retinue into the arena with them. So they don't feel safe.
You know, if that dog barks in a class, the class is dismissed.
So we need the dog to bark at the basketball game?
And that's not a joke. when they there's a person whose job it is to walk around with that dog. That's what he does. And that dog goes with him to class. And if that dog barks in class, it is class dismissed.
Auburn bomb dogs are better than
when I think I can't hate these people more than I already do. These people are just the weirdest.
We just let them in the conference, Chief. Just let them. Let them in.
That needs to be the pay the money if to come. Win this game is just the Auburn bomb dogs are better.
We paid them. We paid them to come to the conference.
Never should have expanded. Then again, no, I don't think we ever should have expanded and picked up Arkansas and South Carolina either. We were perfect at 10.
If it was up to me, we wouldn't let Vanderbilt keep stealing money every year. But
yeah, it's true. It's awful, and as much as I hate Texas A&M, they deserve to be in the conference more than the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt Commodores.
Hang on. They did lose to App State. They did lose to App State this year. Let's not give them too much credit.
This year.
We really should be bringing Tulane back.
The Doors are only good at one thing, and they got a guy who whistles the whole game.
Oh, Jesus.
That's it. Like, that's all they got. It's some guy that everybody hates because he whistles all the time. Yeah. And they're supposed to be bringing us TV news money.
And as much as I dislike A&M and their whole shtick, they're not, at least they're not Missouri, because they really don't deserve to be in this conference.
Well, Missouri has at least won their division twice.
Missouri, but the SEC championship in football.
They are terrible, and they're terrible at everything else. Like, come on.
They're looking pretty good in hoops this year.
Well,
yeah,
this year.
Traditionally, they are a basketball school compared to Texas A&M really is only kind of a one-sport school. Well, that's not true. Aggie is always pretty good at track. Always has been.
They should be. And they're really good meat judging school, if I remember correctly.
All right, I bet they are, Ryan.
So we got Aggie, and then we play the Crimson Tide. Is that what's happening after that?
Yeah, game day is
Kentucky.
Are we playing the Tide? What time is that game?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
It's a Saturday game at 1 o'clock.
Yep, we're tailgating. It's happening. The baseball parking deck. Come on.
Chief, the only problem with that is I got to be in the arena when game day starts because I'm pulling standing room duties.
Oh, boy.
And they're not clearing the arena after game day.
Well, Ryan's not tailgating. I'm tailgating.
We'll tailgate at the house after the game, after the win.
What do you mean they're not pulling standing? You're pulling standing rooms. So, you're sitting in.
No, so we'll be in standing room on the drink rail.
Sure.
First come, first serve.
Well, guys.
I'm getting at the arena at 9 a.m. for this game.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, you sound like me in my old days.
Maybe Bruce will bring out some pizza or something.
I'm not waiting outside. Don't worry.
That's true.
Yeah, you can get you a Ben's pretzel.
And, that would be great if they open the Ben's.
They won't. They absolutely won't. There won't be anything open. You're just going to be chained
maybe
there'll
be a coffee to
drink rail.
I'm going to be getting Big Blue ahead of time anyways.
Oh. So, we need to win that game. We need to go 2-0 this week.
Yeah, going 2-0 is the best possible outcome. You heard it here first.
We might make it. We might have 4 or 5 seed. We go 2-0 here.
Yeah, man. I mean, what would that do for our SEC tournament?
I want to talk about that, but because isn't the best. The best case scenario for any team is to be the 3 seed in the SEC tournament, right? Like that's the one you want to be.
Is that the one that would draw the 14-10?
Yes.
The 14-11 winner?
Yeah. Yes. You want to be it. I personally think we're either the 3rd or 4th best team in the conference.
The 2 seed is the one you don't want. The 1 seed, second best, probably. But that 3 seed is for some reason the best seeding in the whole thing. I don't really know why it's designed that way, but it is.
Well, hopefully. Go ahead.
Play for 1.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
They should flip it and make that the 1 that plays, but whatever. And you play the 2 worst teams. It doesn't make any sense why the 3 seed has that draw.
So the reasoning is that, you know, 1 plays the 8-9 winner.
Sure.
two plays the 7-10 winner. But because we have 14 teams right now,
the one should play the lowest seed.
It should be reseeded, you're right, yeah. Once you get to Friday.
At least everybody goes because, to the tournament now.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's set up, though, is the three would get, theoretically, either the sixth seed or a team that's already played two games.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is what you want. You want to end up playing some team that's played two games.
Right.
And you're the three seed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
how Auburn wins the SEC tournament this year. And somehow this scrappy team hangs a banner in Neville Arena, and we all feel like this was a great year.
We started off by going by going 2-0 this week. Most importantly, I as much as I hate Texas A&M, whatever. That game's whatever to me. Don't feel great about it, whatever. We're going to beat this Alabama team. We're going to beat them by 10 points. You heard it here first. It's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it may be 10 points, like, oh, we shoot a bunch of free throws at the end and get it to 10. I'm feeling something real, like, quote unquote, controversial happening that gives us the win. And it's going to be great. It's going to really rile up those airplane hangar people. I don't know. I think winning this game, I'm just willing to call this whole season a success, because you avoid just by winning that, because we still have one more to play. You've avoided the sweep. You didn't get swept by Georgia. Puts a little damper on it if you get swept by Texas A&M, but who cares about them? They're not even really in the conference. I would think beating that Alabama team pretty much secures our tournament hopes at this point, because we have what, four games left after that? Five games?
No, there's still
six after that.
Six, okay. So
yeah, but so, you win the ones you should, and
yeah,
and win at home, fall apart in the rest, you're fine.
Yeah,
so, win at home and win the Vandy game, and you're in.
A&M is actually tied with Tennessee at 8-2 in the league right now. Auburn's 7-3. So I mean, you're talking about the three seed. You got to win tomorrow night, because if you don't, you're two games behind Aggie, and Aggie has a sweep over you plus Tennessee. So at best, at that point, you're looking at a four seed.
Yeah, that makes that game at Rupp pretty big towards the end of the year, fighting with them for the four seed.
Yep.
So I would say that the A&M game's really, really important.
I just think I'll say this, that you're right about that A&M game. I think they'll probably stumble a little more down the line, and so it might not matter as much. But you have to pick up to get that three seed. I think you have to pick up two more road wins. I mean, that, like, in A&M and Vandy are the only reasonable expectations left on the road there.
Yeah.
So that's where you're at there. But I don't know. I just think everybody that lived through all the really crappy seasons, beating Alabama was really the only thing you had to look forward to. And throughout all of those awful seasons, we never got swept by Alabama. In fact, versus the only coach that we've had in 20 years that got swept by Alabama, I'm pretty sure, because I don't think Cliff ever got swept.
Worth it.
Totally worth it. Barbie never got swept, crazily enough. Lebo never got swept.
I wonder if Cliff or Lebo did, because that was Alabama got to number one.
I don't think I'm almost 100% positive Lebo never got swept. A successful season in the past basically was don't get swept by Alabama. So if you can avoid that, I'm going to feel pretty good about this season no matter what. Now, if we fell off the face of the planet and didn't make the tournament, I would be bummed for sure. But expectations baseline are make the tournament. And right now I feel pretty good about us making the tournament. We just We just got to check off some of the other goals and be all right. But I'm with Crow. I wanna somehow screw around and hang a banner, and I would laugh hysterically every time I saw it, because
if Final Four team was a 5 seed in Nashville.
It's true.
They were also unranked going into the last week of the regular season. So
it's true. I if things go well, this team should be ranked going away.
So Barbie got swept twice by Alabama.
Okay. Well,
okay.
10-11 and 11-12. BP's been swept twice.
Yeah.
First year and then the COVID year. 05, 06, 04, 05, 03, 04. Ooh. Alabama swept Auburn.
Really?
Yes.
That's Lebo's first year. You're right.
So, and then 95, 96, 94, 95, 93, 94.
Close first years,
so
that's even getting back to Tommy Joe Eagles.
Yeah, Tommy Joe Eagles.
One of those that Kyle Davis blocked Alabama's attempt at a game-winning shot. He blocked it, but he came down and hit the hand
on
the way down.
Yeah,
guy with the line made them both right before I was on that baseline.
We want to win this game.
We're gonna win it
because we're going to make an announcement today that next week's podcast will be the last edition of the Orange and True podcast. And we don't want to do that after a loss to Alabama, because it'll look like we're quitting because we lost to Alabama.
It's true. It's true.
We don't want to lose to Alabama and then stop the pod. So for those of you who have been on this with us and listened to this podcast all the way to the end of this show and to every show, thank you so much. We really want you to listen to the next one. We're going to try to do something special for you guys. It has been a crazy trip. We'll talk about that next week, though.
Yeah.
And what's going on?
I'm gonna call an audible, or call a little audible here. And I don't know if anybody that listens would want to do this, but if you want to record something in and send it in, we could put it together and put it out, I think.
Yeah, sure.
I'll do it myself if Jack doesn't want to do it. If you're a listener and
crazy hard trivia questions for these guys, that maybe
send those in to Ryan. If you hit me up on Twitter at AU Chief if you want to send in like a clip of yourself just talking about the show or talking about a funny moment of the show or telling us what we did wrong and why you hate us. That's cool too. We'll do that. We should mention this has nothing to do with Hugh Freeze.
Right. It's a lot more to do with Vox Media than it has to do with Hugh Freeze anything else.
We really buried the lead here. That's,
yeah.
But this was the penultimate episode if you just listened to. Is there anything else going on with Auburn right now? Women got hosed.
About to start, yeah. Women gymnastics got hosed at Bama. No shocker there. But they moved up.
Yeah. Real hosed is really, everybody expects you to lose on the road because it's just home cooking. So.
Justin Lee was looking into it. It's the second highest visiting score in Coleman Coliseum history that he could find.
Not shocked. I'm actually shocked it's not the highest.
It's the highest by a road SEC team.
Gotcha. Was the other like a tournament situation maybe?
I don't know.
That would make
Oklahoma,
some sense.
Though. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, obviously a solid program.
Yeah.
And then, the ending of the women's game Sunday was rough.
Yeah. Props to them. They had their first 3-game winning streak.
Yeah, they had a little streak going. That's what's been like big bummer.
Several years. So it was 2015 or 2016, I believe.
We're right in that ship.
Yeah. Coach Jay's got them playing well.
Early and fought back.
Are they a better shooting team than the men's team?
No, they lost that game because they shot, I want to say it was like 2 of 18 or something like that.
What are we doing in Auburn? Why can't we shoot basketballs?
And they lost because of that, and because an 85% free throw shooter missed both intentional foul free throws from the line.
After she had, that was after the should have been made the point, but called an intentional foul. Yeah,
bummer. Yeah, that was a real bummer.
We will see y'all next week for the last time ever.
And to celebrate beating Alabama.
Celebrate Alabama and all the good times that we had.
Don't cackle.
Have a worried week.